Good morning. It's time for In the Green Outdoors with Carol Kelly and Gail Martin. Each week, the ladies will bring you planting and gardening ideas, tell you about native Ohio plants, prairies, and habitats. Great tips for everything in the green outdoors. This week with Gail Martin.
Good morning. This is Gail Martin coming to you with another segment of In the Green Outdoors. I'm still focusing on Ohio wild, edible, medicinal, and just generally useful trees, and thought we might go over the characteristics of those medicinals once again. When you think of edible, medicinal, and useful plants, most people's minds go right to the small weeds and flowers growing at the edge of your lawn, maybe on a roadside. People don't usually think of trees as a source of medicine, but medicinal trees are all around us, hiding in plain sight. Historically, much of our country was forested, and the people found food and medicinal uses for the local trees. Of course, many of the same trees were also used to create tools, furniture, and even their homes. But using trees as medicine allows us some rather interesting preparations. And did you know just about any part of a tree could be medicinal, depending, of course, upon the tree? So how would you work with medicinal wood? It's not edible, but you have to find a way to extract that potent medicine. In cases like that, the wood is boiled for extended periods or sometimes added to hot baths if you only need it for topical use. Medicinal trees are often used in the same way as other herbal preparations. They can be infused into teas, tinctures, even oils, and some are made into salves and poultices. We don't usually think about the ethical consideration if you're harvesting dandelions or a non-native plant. Those grow in abundance. You know, if I spent all day harvesting dandelions, plantain, or sweet clover out of my yard, I'd hardly dent the population. But a tree is different. You have to be careful when you harvest, and you have to know what you're doing, of course. Trees take years and sometimes centuries to mature, and a casual harvest could scar or deform a tree for life. Careful leaf and twig harvesting isn't a big deal as long as you're conscientious and don't take more than a small percentage of the total tree. Bark, that's a different matter. Anytime you cut into the bark of a tree, you are opening the trunk of the tree to insects, disease, and decay. If you cut around the full circumference of the tree, which is a practice known as girdling, that supply of nutrients is completely cut off and the tree dies. So obviously, harvesting all the bark from a living tree wouldn't be ethical or sustainable. How much is acceptable? Now, for most of us, foraging isn't a necessity. Maybe you've never even considered it. If you do decide to give it a go, I highly recommend that you take some foraging courses before you go out and just start gathering things. Because there are so many trees and shrubs to consider growing and using as food or medicine, I expect it's going to take a few more episodes just to finish covering the trees and shrubs that my nursery carries. And I really look forward to learning more about all these native species as I research for this broadcast. So with that being said, let's get started. My tree today, it's a favorite of mine, wafer ash, also known as hop tree, and some people even call it stinking ash. Hop tree is a deciduous small tree or sometimes large shrub in the citrus family, and it's native to Ohio. Actually, one of only two members of the citrus family that are native here. The common name hop tree is because of the flat, round fruits, which could be used as a substitute for hops in the brewing process. And the stinking ash name comes from what some people think is a malodorous fragrance from the flowers, as well as a not-so-great smell from bruised leaves and stems. This very adaptable, low-maintenance plant should always be sited in a location with full to partial shade, It will tolerate full sun, but it doesn't do quite as well in the full sun. It's a slow to medium growing tree, and it reaches 10 to 20 feet tall when it's mature. And it can be fairly wide, about 10 to 20 feet, with a bushy, rounded habit. And it'll have branches low on the trunk. In the fall, the three parted leaves turn a yellow-green color. This tree is successful in both urban and forested environments. And despite its name, it is not an ash tree, so it's unaffected by the emerald ash borer. As I said before, the leaves resemble an ash tree by the fact that they have parts to the leaves. But in this case, it's only three parts, which with ash trees, it's more than three parts to the leaf. It kind of resembles a large shamrock leaf with a pointed tip. Wafer ash bark is dark gray and mostly smooth, and the twigs can be reddish brown and very smooth. The flowers are greenish white and grow in clusters. Some people think that the flowers smell citrusy, while other people feel that they just stink. I guess you'll have to go to a wafer ash and check it out for yourself. The trees produce a circular, papery brown seed that stays on the tree even after the leaves fall off in the winter. In the landscape, the tree can be a standalone specimen, or you can plant it in small groups and make kind of an informal hedge or screen. Its ability to stand shade makes it a good choice for an understory tree. And those papery fruits hanging through the winter provide a food source for birds and small mammals, as well as some winter interest in the landscape. Now, wafer ash has several medicinal uses. The root bark of the wafer ash is used to make medicine. It can be taken for stomach problems, gallstones, joint and muscle pain, and some people also use it to treat intermittent fevers and things such as heartburn, pinworms, roundworms, and even poor digestion. Additionally, wafer ash can be applied directly to the skin as a wound dressing, and the roots can also be used as a tonic for asthmatic breathing and poor appetite. Its seeds, as I mentioned before, can be used in place of hops in beer production, and this is due to the bitter taste. But that bitterness also means that wafer ash is seldom fed on by deer. The flowers, as I mentioned, can give off a citrusy smell to some people. Some people think they stink, but they definitely attract pollinators like bees and butterflies. And since this tree is a member of the citrus family, it's one of, as I mentioned before, only two native Ohio species that are in Ohio. It also supports the giant swallowtail butterfly. They lay their eggs on it, and so the larva has to have a member of the citrus family to mature. The giant swallowtail is a majestic butterfly native to North America that stands out as this continent's largest species. A male giant swallowtail can range anywhere from 5.5 to almost 7.5 inches across in wingspan, and the females generally range from 5.5 to almost 7 inches. Giant swallowtails are just simply gorgeous butterflies. They have a very dramatic coloration of deep black with bold yellow bands and spots. Now, this coloration makes it highly visible, so once you see one, you don't forget what it looks like. Its caterpillars have gained fame for their unique camouflage strategy. They mimic bird droppings to evade predators. So a giant swallowtail caterpillar closely resembles, well, a place where a bird took a dump, to put it bluntly. And the caterpillars use this along with their osmeteria. I'm going to explain osmeteria in a second, to defend against predators such as wasps, flies, and vertebrae. Now, the osmeterium is a defensive organ that can be everted or pushed out of their head when the larva feels threatened. And that everted organ resembles a fleshy, forked, red tongue that looks very similar to a snake tongue. And this, along with its rather long snake-like body when it's more mature, might be used to startle birds and small reptiles. I'll tell you, when you see it do that, it startles a human. It also emits a foul stench when it's startled or disturbed. I know my grandkids love to find them on the way for ash, and they'll wiggle the leaf to make the caterpillar mad so that it waves its osmeteria and then emits the foul odor, and the kids just think that's hilarious. So if you happen to have a wafer ash tree anywhere near you, keep an eye out for those bird-dropping lookalikes on the leaves. I hope you find some. They're pretty interesting. And I think I've run about out of time for today. Join me again in 2 weeks when my broadcast will cover more edible, medicinal, and wildlife-friendly Ohio native tree species. And I encourage you to consider what each of you can do to make our world a better place. If you have any questions about the tree I spoke of today or just native trees in general, give me a call at 419-688-9800 or email me at gail@nativesandharmony.com. This is Gail Martin signing off for In the Green Outdoors.
And there's your show for the week. In the Green Outdoors is a production of WZMO Radio. The show airs Saturdays and Mondays right after the second cup at about 9:30 a.m. If you have a question or comment for Carol or Gail, you can email it to WZMO@roadrunner.com. Thank you for listening.